What a good way to start our service today, huh? Yeah. You know, there's a lot of places around the world where the act of baptism itself is risky business. Here, freedom of religion, our plurality of culture, it's not all that risky. But we just had Charlie talking to us a couple of maybe a month ago or so now, and when they get baptized out of the Muslim arena and become Christians, they're automatically, you know, a target. Yeah. In fact, they take their own lives in their hands to lay them down in baptism. And I point that out for a couple of different reasons, just to start our service today, because we're talking about the end of my comfort zone. You know, doing something crazy. Now, for Chris to get baptized in a public setting like this, most of us would say that was a blessing, that was huge, but most of us would not call that crazy, right? Now, maybe there's some of you here going, I would never get dunked in public. That's crazy, you know? But what we're talking about today is so much deeper, so much greater. It has so many farther reaching ramifications than just getting wet, just getting momentarily uncomfortable. In fact, in many ways, I'm thinking that's the least of our disturbance of our comfort or our comfort zone. If you've got your handout with you this morning, if you've got the white sheet that we often use to look at our notes and to spend some time together, go ahead and get those out, because I want to think with you that life begins at the end of your comfort zone. That Jesus' teaching specifically addresses our willingness to risk and to go beyond our comfort zone. When was the last time you did something crazy? Now, maybe for some of you, there's different levels of this. Maybe for some of you, you've gone skydiving or something really risky like that, or bull riding or something on that level. Some of us just 2 weeks ago went up Mount Si, and on the way down, my feet were saying, "You are crazy. Why did you do this?" The 4 miles up or whatever was fine. It was the last 2 miles on the way down. Huh? My body was saying, "You are idiotic, you stupid man. Why are you doing this to me?" That would be maybe on the scale, you know, not too crazy, but kind of in that crazy zone, you know. But when was the last time you did something crazy? When it comes to your faith. Now, we're going to use that analogy between the physical and the spiritual, because so often God's calling us to do something completely contrary to reason. The very things that we think make sense, biblically we're taught against. The very things that don't make sense, we're enjoined, and Jesus actually, in his Sermon on the Mount, calls those things blessed or blessed. We call them the Beatitudes. Chuck started us out talking about the comfort zone in a way, you know, and being willing to count the cost, being willing to step into the arena, being out of our comfort zone. We talked about blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. In fact, Debbie's daughter-in-law was looking up verses on her phone yesterday and just reading them out to the family. And she came to that verse, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." And you could just see the Lord doing just that. It doesn't make sense, but it makes sense spiritually. It's the opposite of what you'd think. Happy are the sad. There's something that can be found in mourning if you're in Christ that you can't get that comfort any other way. The Bible talks about these contrasting things. We say, blessed are those when you come to the end of yourself and you become to the beginning of God. And in a way, that's this idea. Following Jesus actually is talked about as dangerous. I mean, here we are talking about following the Savior of the world, and yet as he lived his life in this world, you would say he did a lot of things contrary to comfort, wouldn't you? Yeah. So if we are going to do what that song says, if we're going to do like Chris did and say, I will follow Jesus wherever he goes, it's going to lead us into some dangerous territory. Maybe on the sign of the Bible before you open it, or the church building before you go in, there should be a sign, a warning that says, danger, danger, don't go in there. This could be detrimental to your relationships because it teaches the exact opposite of what we think of in our relationships. Our relationships are there to serve me? No, the Bible says the opposite. I'm there to give myself. Oh, man, are you serious? I got to give myself? Maybe we have another sign that says, warning, warning, danger. This could be dangerous to your work life, to your work career. You're going to have some values in the kingdom that don't fly real well out there. One of the guys who was baptized this year, Chuck's a good friend, we were talking together, and the way the values changed in his life made a difference in his work world, and he was fired. He lost his job. He lost his career. Now, so God's opened up other doors, and it's fantastic what God's done. But it was dangerous to his health and to his career health. You get that? Yeah, sometimes we should have that. Well, we should have the banner over our finances, over our checkbook, and says, warning, following Jesus is dangerous to your finances. You know, you're going to be called upon to not value the things of this world. You're going to be enjoined to say, don't lay up for yourself treasures on earth, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. You go, that's dangerous. That's risky. What am I going to do? Invest in heaven. Invest in eternity. Invest in the kingdom of God. Totally different than makes sense. Totally different than what your financial advisor is going to say to you when you sit down with them. They'll look at the logical standpoint and say, you should be doing this. And you'll be saying, but God says to do this. Following Jesus can be dangerous to your financial health, to your financial picture. See, God calls us to go all in, to follow him completely, unashamedly, unreservedly. And I want to encourage you, if you're not following Jesus all in, you're missing it. I mean, that's where the blessed are those come in. Blessed are those who... It has to do with following him all the way. If you just want to, you know, 5 cents of God, you know, just 50 cents of God, you don't want the whole thing, you're missing the blessing that is there for you. For you know, some things you just can't do halfway. You can't be married halfway. You're either married or you're not. If you're halfway married, you're missing out on the best of both worlds. Okay? You can't be, any of you ladies, can you be a little bit pregnant? You know, it's an all, you're either pregnant or you're not. You know? It's an all-in kind of thing, is it not? And in a way, Christianity, the following Christ, is the same that way. You know, if you're on the wing of a plane and you're going to skydive, you don't skydive a little bit. You know, you're either in it or you're not, right? Yeah. Bull riding. I mean, you should kind of go through the list of these high-risk things. You need to go all in or you miss both the opportunity, and it's even more, there's God's calling us as believers to go all in. And I think it revolves around this end of our comfort zone. Think with me for a minute about what we think of as comfort. Isn't our world just really focused in on comfort? You know? Every commercial is going to appeal to some aspect of comfort, isn't it? Have you seen the new minivan commercials with it's the cup holders, isn't it? That, you know, 8 cup holders and they're temperature sensitive. If you've got a hot drink, it keeps the drink hot. If you've got an iced drink, it keeps the drink cold. I mean, we're talking comfort here because I could not drink a lukewarm cup of coffee. You know, I got to have my comfort. You know, I mean, just focuses in on catering to our every comfort, right? Or is it the Lazy Boy chair that now has a pop-up screen? You know, so if you're watching TV and you need to get your computer, you wouldn't want to have to get up and get your laptop. It pops up out of the arm. Well, that's pretty convenient, huh? Hey, and on the other side, catch this, Dave. It's a refrigerator. You can keep your cold drinks right in the chair with you. I mean, you don't even have to worry about your comfort getting up to get a drink. It's right there. And of course, you know what's in your hand, right? Because heaven forbid I'd have to get up and go change the channel. My dad and mom used to have a remote. You know what his name was? Bruce, go change the channel. You know, I was like, they had it made, you know? But now it's all in the... And our society, our culture is geared at comfort. And you know what we've done as a church? Guilty, Your Honor. We have catered to that same appeal. Oh, we gotta get nice chairs. Because chairs are all important. You know, we gotta have the temperature just right. Because we gotta have this and we gotta have that. We kind of think in that in those terms. Comfort. Yeah. I don't think that's the Lord's plan. In fact, the Lord kind of highlights the opposite, that we would conscientiously and consistently aim at getting out to the edge of our comfort zone, especially spiritually, where we would get out of our comfort zone. That's where the kingdom is. That's where the kingdom begins. That's where the Lord loves to work, and he sends his Holy Spirit to join that part of us that says, I'm not just about me. I'm not just about my comfort. I'm about leading people to know him. I'm about growing in him. Look what this verse says about the blessed ones. Exactly the opposite of what we would naturally think. We would naturally think the ones that are protected and safe are blessed. What's it say? Blessed are you when people insult you. What? What? Come on. Blessed are you when people persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. And what is Jesus teaching here? Is he crazy? Is he sick in the head? Is he unreasonable? That just doesn't make sense. Rejoice and be glad? How can I do that when people are picking on me? When people are persecuting me? How can I rejoice and be glad? Because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Just like the other blesseds didn't make sense. They were contradictory to rational thinking. This one says the opposite of what we would think. Blessed are you when men persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely on account of me. But we should rejoice and be glad. Catch this one. It says, we want to follow Jesus without leaving our comfort zone, but that's impossible. You can either follow Jesus or you can stay in your comfort zone. You can't do both. If your goal of becoming a Christian was just to add a little Jesus to your life and be more successful, he says, no. When it comes to following Jesus, it's going to lead you to the edge of your comfort zone. Otherwise, he says, you're missing the blessed part. You're missing the best part. Well, how do you know if you're at the end of your comfort zone? How do you know if it's something Jesus is leading you to? Well, some of the things that we'll focus in on today, ending your comfort includes overcoming fear with courage. You can tell Jesus is leading you when he leads you through fear with courage into his kingdom. You know, it's natural for us to fear what the Lord commands. But he didn't command us mamby-pamby, wimpy little dudes. He said, I want you to be courageous. I mean, look at his statement to Peter. He goes out on the water. He says, take courage. It is I. Do not be afraid. He's walking on water. Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Jesus says, come, come. Peter gets out of the boat, out of his comfort zone. I mean, picture the boat for a minute as our comfort zone. Picture the stepping out as the call for all of us. Jesus says, come, because I'm not in the boat where the comfort is. I'm out on the water where the miracle's taking place. Do you want to live a life that's typified by God's miraculous power and ability? He says, come, I'm ready for you. It's going to be a blast. It's going to be fun. It's going to be energetic. It's going to be what you were created for. You'll have that sense of this is what life is about. Not sitting back, taking it easy, comfortable, but instead pushed to the edge of your comfort zone that says, there's a kingdom out here. There's a clash out here. There's a war out here. And he wants you to step to the front lines. Part of it is stepping out of the boat. You know, and some of us might want to be hanging on the boat going, where's that? Oh, that water's cold. Just come on, team. Just step out. Get out of the comfort zone and out of the boat. And let the Lord direct. Yeah, we criticize Peter because he looked at the wind and the waves and he started to sink. I heroize Peter and say, wow, if we could have that kind of stepping out of comfort zone faith. Notice what Jesus did. Picked him up, pulled him up, lifted him up. Peter got to experience, he's the only one other than Jesus that got to walk on the water. Yeah, you want to walk on the water, you want to follow Jesus? It has to do with getting out of your comfort zone, letting him direct and guide you. You know, too much comfort, it can actually be harmful to your self. They did this study, USC, a big study on microbes, and they took these amoebas. They said, what happens if you remove all environmental challenges for an amoeba? So they got food, they got ideal everything. No challenges, no struggles, perfect environment. Guess what they found out with these silly amoebas? They literally died. They literally died. They had, and you go, what happened? They concluded that part of the zest and continuance of life was to overcome obstacles and to press in and change. You catch it? So could it be that the natural, God-given place for all of us is to press through and outside our comfort zones? I mean, Noah, he could have just sat there and been comfortable, but God told him to build a boat, and he, for many, many years, he built a boat, and it was very uncomfortable for him. But in the long run, it paid off, right? Moses, he's on the backside of the desert, tending Jethro's sheep and herds. He could have stayed there, and yet he could never have led God's people into the promised land out of Egypt if he had not gotten out of his comfort zone, if he'd not gotten out of the place of comfortability. God uses those who step out of the boat. God loves to use those who are willing. You remember Esther, right? As she's sitting there going, if I go in there, the king could have my head. If I go in there, it's illegal. No one can talk to the king like this. She steps out of her comfort zone and she goes in and she says, if I die, I die. How many of us have that kind of confidence in God? Could it be that that kind of miracle is waiting for every one of us if we have that attitude? If I die, I die. God's in control. And what did he do? He paved the way. She was able to free her people. She changed the whole direction of human history because she got out of her comfort zone. It would have been far more comfortable for her. All the disciples left the comfort of their tax collector's booth or the boats that were their fishing boats, or you kind of go through the list. They all left the comfort zone they were used to and said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to take his robe, take his cloak, his yoke, and follow him. Now, sometimes even being here, even being coming to church, I look at some people that are brand new and I know to some degree what it takes just to get out of your comfort zone to attend worship, to go to home group, to connect with people. It's totally against our comfort zone orientation. Yeah, believe with all my heart God has a blessing for us. as we get out of our comfort zone and come together, join with the body of Christ. Remember 1 Timothy, Paul says to Timothy, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but he gave us a spirit of love and of power and a sound mind or self-discipline. So fear can often be that. So I got to ask you this question. When was the last time following Jesus produced fear in you or in me? Ask yourself that question. When was the last time following Jesus caused you to be a little nervous? Caused you to feel like he's calling me out of my comfort zone? I'm going to challenge you today. That's where the life is. That's where the health is. That's where the growth is. He didn't give us a spirit of fear, but instead he gave us a spirit of courage. He says love and power and a sound mind. Think about the fear of personal attacks. When was the last time you went against the person and said, I don't care what people say about me. I'm going to stand up with conviction regardless of what people say, regardless of how people feel. Not to be ugly about it, but to be truthful about it, to be honest about it. When was the last time you said, I don't care if I'm misunderstood. This is so important. I'm going to strike into it even at the risk of being misunderstood. My motives, my intentions might not be seen probably, but I'm going to have courage. I'm going to let God use that in my life. He's talking about those who are falsely accused. He says, those that falsely accuse you on account of me. No. Are you willing to step into and out of the comfort zone into the area, risking even being falsely accused? Brothers and sisters, we have a globe right now that has more persecution of believers than at any other time on the face of the earth. More believers are under the threat of actual physical death than at any other time. And oh, that we would, even if we're not on that front line, though we join them in our prayers with our hearts and not forget them, the Bible says. Don't ever forget those who are in prison, the Bible says, on account of the gospel, but instead join with them. Let me show you a little clip. This came up this week. Got a couple million hits. A friend of mine, Joseph Backholm, he's here in Washington. He's a Washington family policy. And he interviews some students. Well, I'll just show it to you. Take a minute and look at this. You stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. I'm using this a little differently than probably it was intended, but are you catching the pain we've put our young people in with this relativistic, there is no truth, nothing means anything, culture and society? And a lot of it is that fear of, I don't want to say you're wrong. I don't want to say there's truth. I don't want to say there's a right and a wrong because who am I to judge? In the kingdom, he puts us in a place of declaring truth. And that can make people uncomfortable. And we have to be okay with that and say, okay, if truth is truth, there is no way to God but through Jesus. Say it. Declare it. Don't be so resistant or fearful. Did you catch the fear in their voices? They would hardly even say, no, you're not a 6 foot tall Chinese woman. You're a 5'9 white guy. I mean, the truth seems obvious, but they're fearful. I don't want to say you're a 5'9 white guy because, I don't know, it might be a judgmentalism. God calls on us to get out of our comfort zone, to not replicate that in our whole culture. Number two, hasten on. God calls us to get out of not only fear with courage, he tells us to get out of selfishness with sacrifice. Talk about uncomfortable, right? Which of us likes to talk about self-sacrifice? And yet that's what the kingdom of God is about. Not just overcoming fear with courage, but overcoming our selfishness with selflessness, with sacrifice, allowing his leadership. You know, see, Jesus said, I did not come to be served, but to serve and to give my life a ransom. A ransom for many. And you know, if we're going to follow that servant leader, Jesus, he's going to be calling on us to do the same thing, to give our lives. Jesus strictly warned them not to tell anyone, and he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. I mean, he's not telling us to do something that he's not already done. It's just the opposite. He's saying, they did this to me. Guess what? If you follow me, you're going to get the same treatment. That's what it's about. The elders, the priests, the teachers of the law, and they must be killed and on the third day be raised. He means predicting his own demise. This is Luke 9. Then he said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny himself and take up his cross, what? Daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for me will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world and yet to lose or forfeit their soul? Think about it for a minute as Jesus declares this sacrifice. He's giving himself, but then he says, if you're going to follow me, you need to deny yourself. Deny yourself. Talk about giving up our comfort zone. You say, what is it that makes me comfortable? I'm going to deny that. I'm going to take up my cross. What's the cross? The cross is the ultimate symbol of lack of comfort, where you are nailed, pierced through your skin. You are hanging there with no food or water. You are hanging there till your body ebbs its life out of it. He's saying, that's your job, brothers and sisters. That's your job, disciples. That's your job, believers, to give your lives, it says, daily. Take up your cross, deny yourself, take up your cross daily and follow me. If we're going to say, like that song said, I'll follow you wherever you go, we've got to be ready. Comfort tells us to spoil ourselves. Jesus says to deny ourselves. Comfort tells us to sit down and relax. Take it easy. Jesus says, take up your cross daily and follow me. What a contrast, right? What a huge contrast. I will follow you wherever you go. See, a man came to Jesus at this very point, Luke chapter 9. He comes up to Jesus and he says, Master, Master, I want to follow you wherever you go. Here's Jesus' response. He says, the foxes have dens, the birds have nests, but you know the Son of Man, the one you're saying I want to follow wherever you go, he doesn't even have a pillow upon which to lay his head. He's kind of like saying to him, you like beds and you like comfort, and you're saying you want to follow me? Get ready. My life, my picture, the challenge I'm making to you has nothing to do with comfort. In fact, it's just the opposite. So you know when Jesus said that? The foxes have dens and the birds have nests. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. The guy kind of crawls off. He goes, oh, maybe I don't want to follow you. And I see that picture for us sometimes. We go, Lord, are you really calling me to that? Well, maybe I'll find another person to follow. Or maybe I'll follow myself. Myself, that's the selfishness of that picture. Overcoming selfishness with sacrifice involves a couple of things. First of all, it involves an all-in commitment. I mentioned earlier, you can't have a marriage that's not all-in. It doesn't work. It's not going to be good. It won't be blessed. You can't have, having a baby is an all-in thing. Jumping out of a plane is an all-in thing. They're all-in activities. And following Jesus is that way. Putting others first. That's what sacrifice is about, letting others have the way. Jesus said, it's our Christ-like character that is sacrificial. John chapter 15, remember what I told you, a servant is not greater than his master. Now listen to this, if they persecuted me, and they have, they did, to the end, he said, they will, underline that, they will persecute you also. Have you caught that? The reason they hate you, the reason we're forced to our edge of our comfort zone is because following Jesus makes us the target that he was. The enemy does not like what Jesus stands for. And if we're following in Jesus' train, we get shot at as well as him. That's what he's saying right there. That's what it is about. In the early 1600s, they had this scientific revolution. Up until that time, they thought that the universe revolved around the earth. Copernicus, Nicholas Copernicus, he said, no, scientifically, the solar system revolves around the sun. Solar system, the sun, not the earth. And it totally revolutionized all the thinking astronomers and everybody else had about the way the world works. The world didn't revolve around the earth. The earth revolved around the sun. The same Copernicus, I call it translation, needs to happen in our lives. We think the world revolves around us. We think that we are the center of the universe. Just naturally, we grow up. I mean, a two-month-old, you know, they get the bottle in one end and a diaper on the other, and they've got all their needs met, and they are the center of their universe. But that doesn't fit real well for a 22-year-old, right? So you got to grow up. You're not the center of the world anymore. So often, we need a Copernicus revolution. We need to ask ourselves, who's following who? Some people, I've seen it happen, instead of saying, I will follow you, Jesus, wherever you go, they kind of go like this. Man, I'm going some great places. Jesus, could you hop on? I want you to. Hop on the back seat and keep me company while I go where I want to go. I'm the center of my universe. Follow me. No. It's the opposite. Lord, I'm following you. Jesus said, it's a wide road and lots of people find the wide road. He said, following me is more about a narrow road and not that many people are willing or find it. Yep. Let me give you a picture here of some one-way missionaries for the all in all. Yeah. Sacrifice. Get to the edge of the comfort zone. Third thing, overcome shame with boldness. Yeah, Milne, the one-way missionary, you can tell. I mean, there's a boldness in that that says, I lay my life down sacrificially. But what if we overcome the fear of shame or rejection and instead become bold? That's a comfort zone issue. Could it be that the impotence of the church today, not just our church, but the church overall, is because we've allowed shame and fear to keep us from sharing the love that Jesus has for the world? He's calling on us to be just the opposite of that, to instead be a proud, bold sharer of his love. Whoever's ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of them when he comes in his glory, the glory of the Father and the holy angels. Truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the kingdom of God. I like this one, Matthew 10:33. Whoever denies me before men, I'll deny before my Father. See, he's letting us determine the relationship. He's letting us determine the level of the relationship. If we're like, no, I don't want to claim Jesus as my Savior, he's not going to force us. But when we say, yes, Jesus is my Savior, he is my Lord, I'm making a public declaration of my faith in Jesus, he just loves to come alongside of us. So if you get the twin part of that, it's not just who accepts me. He embraces those who follow, those who love him, give themselves to him. Or just to review that verse, blessed are you when you are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all things of manner of evil against you. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward. Where is it that you need to use boldness? Fourth thing, overcome complacency with urgency. Overcome complacency, that's the comfort zone, with an urgency. With an urgency like, he says, I got to get this done. I got to get about this. Something needs to happen here. A year ago, a little more than a year ago, my brother-in-law committed suicide. And a bunch of my family members were pretty complacent in a lot of areas of their life. They're pretty complacent in their spiritual life. And it's hard to say that something good came out of suicide because so much tragedy is there. But something good came out of my brother-in-law's death because it made several family members urgent about spiritual things. They got off their tails and said, let's get help. Let's bring the kingdom. Let's bring brothers and sisters and loved ones to Jesus. Let's not let this be another person that's out there and unattended. Let's be urgent about the gospel. Let's be urgent about the good news. Story of a man who was in jail for murder, coming up to a friend and saying, I lived next door, right across the street from a church for 7.5 years. I'd work on my Harley on Sunday morning just to see people in and out. And he said, you know, in 7.5 years, never did one person from the church, hundreds of people coming and going, never did one person even say hi. Now, he wasn't trying to condemn people, but I think just in realistic terms, he was asking why. It's like, well, looking at you, all the tattoos and the piercings, and they might have just been afraid, you know? Is that the indictment we want, though? He wasn't trying to be critical so much as to just say, why didn't anybody talk to me? Why didn't anybody help me? Shouldn't it be the exact opposite? He says, I was so sick of living next to that church. People kept coming over and being friendly and bringing dinner rolls and helping me. It should be just the opposite, shouldn't it? Our privatized complacency has kept us from being that body, that loving group that says, that's what we're about. It's bringing people to the love and grace of God. Slaves, in reverence to God, fear of God, so it's fearing God more than men, submit yourselves to your masters, not only those who are good and considerate, but also what? Bad bosses. Even those who are harsh, who mistreat you. In fact, he says, it's commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing what's wrong and endure it? I mean, he's talking to literal slaves here. But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, it is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving for you an example that you should follow in his steps. Catch that? He committed no sin, no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. Now catch this verse. If you don't know this verse, favorite. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. You will live for righteousness. Follow in his steps. Let me ask you today to consider some bold, radical, out of the comfort zone things. Number one, would you be willing to use your life, to use your mouth? Would you be willing to offer to pray for someone this week? I don't need a show of hands, but just tell me, would you be willing to step out of your comfort zone and ask somebody if you could pray for them? Now, you might want to pray right then. That's a pretty big stretch of the comfort zone. If you're not to that point, just offer to pray for them and pray for them in your closet at home. But then come back and tell them. Bold move. Gets the ball rolling. Number two, if you're willing to pray for somebody, if you're willing to offer to pray for somebody, are you willing to step across the street or across the room if it's in an office cubicle or something and talk to someone, talk to a neighbor, talk to a friend, talk to someone who you think doesn't yet know the love of Christ. Pray for somebody, talk to somebody. Number three, a bold move. Are you willing to even invite somebody? Is there somebody rolling around in the Rolodex of your mind saying, you know, I really ought to encourage them. I ought to invite them. I ought to bring them to worship, to see a thing like Chris getting baptized and be inspired and encouraged for the whole week. Pray, talk, invite. Are any of these out of your comfort zones? All right. I'm hoping so. Number four, last one. Are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve out of your comfort zone to say, I want to do something so crazy, I want to serve Jesus in a way that I would not think of, but the Holy Spirit would prompt me to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love in our lives. Thank you for your grace. Thank you that you call on us to overcome our fear with courage. You call on us to overcome our selfishness with sacrifice and shame with boldness and complacency with urgency. Lord, as you press us and push us and nudge us out of our comfort zone, we just ask you would surround us with your strength, with your heart, with your courage, and with your Holy Spirit. Empower the body of Christ not to be comfortable and complacent, but to be all in. Challenge us, Lord. Help us fulfill it. In Jesus' name, amen.